what they signify. I love what these ordinances symbolize. They are gospel ordinances. And I say that because that contained within these two ordinances, they symbolize the facts of the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read some scripture about baptism, and these two ordinances are also not that, I'm not saying that we don't literally observe these ordinances, because we do, but these ordinances are not literal, but they are pictorial. They are symbolic ordinances. They symbolize the reason for which we observe them. So I want to read some scripture beginning in the first verse of the sixth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Thank the Lord. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. You know, before the Lord saved me, I was a different person. After that I was saved, I was changed. I was different. And I contend today that salvation is a spiritual experience, but it's not just that. It's a life-changing experience. The Lord changed me when he saved me. I had a different heart. I remember things that in life that I treasured, and I thought that they were so important to me. And actually, I thought that really they were what life was about. And after the Lord saved me, they just didn't seem to mean much to me anymore. They were worldly things, and they weren't what life is about. And so when the Lord saved me, he changed me inside. And I'll tell you what, for a person that's truly been saved, that person can never be happy in this life unless they're serving the Lord. And so I'm thankful that I have the privilege and the opportunity to serve the Lord. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And you know, I have a prayer on my heart today for Sister Hannah. And I believe the church needs to pray that she will walk with the Lord, that she will live her life for the Lord. We have seen people come before the church. I'm sad to say this. I hate to say this, but it's true, and we know that it's true. We have seen people come before the church and relate a good experience of salvation and submit themselves to the ordinance of baptism and be baptized and become members of the church, and before you know it, they're nowhere to be found. And they're not living their lives for the Lord, and it's not supposed to be that way. And the Lord's not pleased with that. So I pray that she will serve the Lord. The ordinance of baptism, you know, my baptism, I remember that with great and fond memories. And it was a very important time in my life when I was baptized, because I was baptized into something very, very special. Paul here in the Roman letter told us that we're baptized into Christ. And we are. We are baptized into Christ. But now, he also, in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul also clarifies even better what he was talking about when he made the statement that we find recorded in Romans chapter 6. Because many people have taken that, and many people believe that we are baptized into Christ in order to obtain the remission of sins. And that's not true. And that's not what the Apostle Paul was talking about. When he was talking about being baptized into Christ, he was talking about being baptized into his body. And not his literal body. We're not baptized into the literal or physical body of Christ, but we are baptized into his mystical body. And if we look in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And in verse 27, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ," which is the church. Baptism is an initiatory rite, and it must be observed, and it must be, you must be baptized in a liquid grave. You must be baptized in water. You must be immersed in water in order to become a member of the Lord's church. It's required. In order to be baptized, in order to be scripturally baptized, you must be born again. You must be saved by God's grace. You must be able to relate an experience of when you were seeking the Lord and the Lord forgave you of your sins and let you know that you were saved. You must have that experience with God in order to be a proper candidate for water baptism, and then you must receive scriptural baptism in order to be a member of his church. Now that's Bible, and that's Baptist doctrine, and that'll preach. That's the truth. in the writings of the Apostle Peter, I believe he explains very well that baptism does not literally wash away our sins. It does so in a figure, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, he was talking about, preceding this, he was talking about the flood, and he said, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." Well, does baptism save us? Why, absolutely it saves us. The Apostle Peter said that it saves us. But how does it do that? How does it save us? Well, he goes on and he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It does not save us by washing away our sins. Friends, only the blood of Christ can do that. Amen. Only the blood of Christ can wash away our sins. But it saves us by the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, everybody that has truly been saved is required, is commanded to receive scriptural baptism. And everybody that has been truly saved and has not submitted themselves unto that is living in disobedience to the Lord's commands. When we baptize, we take that person under the water and we bring that person out of the water. And I want Sister Hannah to know just a little bit about this today. When you go into the baptistry here in a few moments, and I believe that you already know this from what you have observed in the past here, but you're going under the water today. You are going to be buried underneath the water. And unless I fail in my job, you're coming back out too. You're going down and you're coming up. You know what, Brother Wheat, if the Lord delays his coming, one of these days my body is going down into the grave. They're going to place it under the dirt. It's going down into the grave, but I'm coming up. I'm coming up, friends. The Lord will raise it up. He'll raise up a new body. And we today, Sister Hannah, when you go under the water, it's going to symbolize that you have died to sin. And being dead to sin is the same as being alive unto God. And it's going to symbolize today that you have died to sin. And when you come up out of the water today, it's going to symbolize that you are going to walk in newness of life. You're going to live differently than you lived before. You're going to live a life that shows forth that change that has taken place in the heart. And that's what baptism is. It is an outward symbol of an inward change. What a great picture is set forth in the ordinance of water baptism. The Lord gave His church this ordinance, and when He commissioned her, He said, "Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And one of those things that we teach is the Lord's Supper, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You see, Jesus made a way in baptism. He made a way for His burial and for His resurrection to be pictured and to be symbolized. And in the ordinance of baptism, He left His church an ordinance to observe whereby we show His death until He comes. I'll tell you what, there's nobody as wise as the Lord. I mean, I've thought about that before when the Lord was here on earth among his church. He took and he instituted two ordinances that needed very simple elements. All they needed in order to carry them out was enough water to bury a body and unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine to observe the Lord's Supper. That's all they needed. Baptism is the burial in water. Remember this. Sister Hannah, remember this. Baptism is the burial in water of a person who has been saved, and it must be, in order to be scriptural, it must be performed with the proper candidate, with the proper authority, and the proper administrator. Those things are required in order for it to be scriptural. People have made a farce out of it, but I'm going to tell you what, just any person that you would want is not the proper administrator for the ordinance of baptism. And there are people, you know, a corporation today, if they chose to do this, they could do it. Every time they hired somebody new into their company, they could take them and they could baptize them under water in a pool of water somewhere. They could do something like that if they chose to. But I'm telling you what, they would not be carrying out scriptural baptism if they did that, because it's only the Lord's church that he authorized to carry out that ordinance. You know, people meet all over the place in all different types of capacity, and they take and they break bread, and they take the bread, and they take the wine, and they observe the Lord's Supper in all different kinds of ways. But I'm telling you what, nobody but the Lord's church was given the authority to carry out that ordinance. And you may say today, well, you know, what are you saying? That should make us feel puffed up? No, that ought to make us feel very humbled. That we are responsible before God to administer and to carry out those ordinances that he left for the church. And so we take the bread, the unleavened bread, the broken bread, and we take that, and we symbolize his broken body there at Calvary. We take the cup and we give thanks and we drink from the cup and we symbolize the blood that the Lord Jesus shed for us in order for us to be able to be saved. And he left these to us, these ordinances, for these purposes, to be done throughout the generations until he comes. Until he comes. And you know what I pray? I pray that Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church will never stop burying in water those who come before the church, seeking membership. I pray that we will never stop with anybody that comes before the church to present themselves with membership. I pray that we will never stop the practice of requiring that person to give a testimony of God saving their soul. It won't be right if we ever leave that behind. They must bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And I pray that we never begin to believe that there's a better or more convenient way than to bury them in water and call it scriptural. God left, when God left his house to us, he left a bathtub. That doesn't give us the right to take it out and put in a shower. That doesn't give us the right to change his ordinance from a burial in water to a little bit of sprinkling of water on the head. Baptism is immersion. It's a burial in water. And that's the only way, that's the only way that it will truly symbolize what it is supposed to symbolize if we bury that person in water. So we're going to ask Sister Hannah to come. I just wanted to share some things with you today concerning the ordinances, concerning what they mean. And, you know, we need to remind ourselves from time to time of the great importance of these ordinances. The Lord left them with his church in order to be observed, and we need to make sure, as much as possible, we need to make sure that we always do them according to the pattern that he left us. And so I'm going to ask Sister Hannah to come while she does, and we go back and we make ready. The brethren can prepare things up here for the baptism and for the communion as well. So let's begin to sing, Brother Ronnie.